Hey everyone, today is all about chit-chat. It's all about communication. In the last webinar, you learned about the tools and tricks you were going to use to counsel people. But you can't really counsel people and give them this information without being able to properly communicate. There are some really smart people out there who have tons of nutrition information and a wealth of knowledge to share. But if they don't know how to share it, well, it's not going to be helpful to people. So my job today is to help you learn how to best tap into your best communication resource, which is you. You know you. And that's my first rule for you. Be you. Have some steadfast rules that work for you. For example, some people aren't comfortable hugging. They don't want to hug their clients. They want to have a little bit of a wall up there, and that's okay. Other people are huggers, and they like to hug and kiss hello their clients, and other people would totally disagree with that. But what's important is that you know what you're comfortable with, and then you make some steadfast rules there. And it's not just about whether or not you should hug or kiss hello a client, but it's also even about the tone of voice you use. Are you a cursor? Are you a screamer? Are you someone who talks fast with a lot of energy? What's most important is that you are you and you set a protocol for yourself that works for you and your personality. For me, I'm okay giving a hug hello. That works for me. I have other boundaries that I keep, but for me, that boundary is okay to be broken. For other people, that doesn't work. Another example where you need to have some form of a protocol is with how you're going to communicate, email or text. For some people, texting is just not going to happen with clients. For other people, it's the best way to communicate. For me, I'm an emailer with clients, and my protocol is that I will get back within 24 hours. With that said, over time, where I've gotten more and more emails, it's actually been harder for me to keep up that way, and I find that I was not making my 24-hour rule. So I've actually adjusted that, and now I do text with clients, and if it becomes too long of a text dialogue back and forth, I respond with, I will get back to you with an email within 24 hours. But I personally find texting is nice to sort of separate those quick client emails with other business going on that usually goes through email. So for me right now, that's my protocol when it comes to email, when it comes to boundaries as far as kissing hello or hugging. But you really have to think about what works for you. What you have to think about what has worked in the past, other experiences you've had, and write it down, because sometimes when you write it down, it's easier to follow those guidelines when the situations arise. You also need to know how to communicate as far as, you know, what works for you in terms of your personality. Are you the type of person that is, you know, rah-rah cheerleader? Remember, when you're working with someone, you're part cheerleader, part life coach, part nutritionist, and part therapist. You need to think about what tone you want to take. Usually that sort of just happens, but many people don't even think about it, and then they're inconsistent, or they might find themselves speaking to a client in a way that they weren't so comfortable with. They either A, didn't want to get that personal, or B, didn't want to take that tone of voice. So it's really important to acknowledge who you are and the type of tone and the type of communication you want to have with clients. Something else you need to think about when you're communicating with clients is how much personal information are you going to give? That's another thing that you need to have somewhat of a protocol for. For example, some people have rules that they don't give any personal information. Other people like to share personal stories as a form of inspiring or even acknowledging that you understand where their client's been. I personally like to do that to share similar experiences, but if you do that, you have to remember that it's not about you. It's very easy to get caught up in a story about something that happened with you, and often the clients will even ask follow-up questions to that, and they want to hear more about how you handled something. But you have to remember, if you are going to share a personal story, make it short, sweet, get to the point, and then bring it right back to how it relates to the client. Another thing you want to be aware of when it comes to communication is when you communicate and how you communicate certain information. For example, there might be something that you're going to talk about with a client in your office, in your studio, in your coffee shop, wherever you are with that person. You need to not only know how you're going to communicate and the type of information you're going to give, but when and in what form you're going to give that information. For example, I mentioned that I like people to contact me via email. but there are times when email is just not appropriate. If a client emails me, can you check out the menu at this restaurant? I'd love to know what to order, or I'd love some advice on the menu. That's an email. If a client tells me they're going to the grocery store and they need a couple specific names of whole wheat bread, that's an email. But if a client sends an email that I can tell they're really struggling or they bring up something very emotional, I always respond with an email, but I don't get into it. I respond with an email asking for when we can speak for a few minutes. If for some reason I'm seeing the person the next day, I'll possibly say, let's just address it tomorrow in the office. If it sounds like they're struggling an incredible amount and I'm not planning on seeing them for a week or so, I would absolutely schedule a time to chat. Recognizing these times when it's not appropriate for an email response is really important. I can't tell you how many times someone will send an email like that, and by the time I speak to them the next day, they'll say, oh, you know, I was just in a really bad mood. I had a bad conversation with my boyfriend, or I was in a rut after work and I just sort of vented to you. But it's maybe not even as dramatic as it seemed, and you may have sent a whole dramatic email back. Or another scenario is, it really is that dramatic, and you know what? If you'd emailed back, you may have not have been as sympathetic as they were actually needing you to be. So I always think if you're hesitating there, respond, but make sure to get that person on the phone or in your office to handle those real emotional struggles. The main reason that I don't like to communicate via email regarding big emotional issues is because it's not really fair to the client. You really need to hear what they're feeling. You can't just take their written word for what they're feeling. You need to have that real connection going on. But you also need to consider that anything that you put down in the written word can be misinterpreted. And in a worst case scenario, in any sort of legal matter, could be used against you. So it's always better to really communicate in real voice over larger issues, anything other than just recommending a few specific recipes or where to eat, etc. Not only does that apply to email, but text, well, that can actually be even trickier. And I mentioned to you that I do like texting with clients now because I feel like it keeps my client correspondence separate from all other business correspondence. But that really goes for the same sort of things I was saying with email. It's usually for quick responses that are not emotional. The other thing that you have to remember with texting is we often use shorthand more than we do in email. And that can be misinterpreted even more so. And then remember, autocorrect, that can just cause a whole host of other problems. So you need to think about autocorrect there. And also, sometimes when you're texting, you do it a little bit faster. And have you ever written XOXO when you realized, oops, that wasn't my best girlfriend, that was someone I work with? You gotta be careful of those things. Don't get too comfortable. Remember who you're communicating to, what you wanna communicate, and if the form of communication is the right one for you at that moment. If you're still worried about how to communicate and how professional to be and what tone you wanna take, don't worry about it. I've got you covered. Download the sample emails I have attached, and you can take it from there with your own personal style. Accountability is key for a client to be consistent, and we know that consistency is essential to short-term and long-term success with changing your diet, losing weight, maintaining that weight loss, and improving your health. So how do I get clients to be accountable? This is a huge issue that so many people in your shoes and my shoes deal with. Keeping people accountable. One way I keep people accountable is the old school, tried and true food journal. It's so old school, food journaling, that sometimes I just hate to talk about it. But the fact is, it works. Food journaling is not only essential to helping a client stay on the straight and narrow, but it's also essential for you to understand the client. And when I have somebody that is not into the whole food journaling thing and just says, oh, I just can't do it. It just bores me. I don't want to do it. I tell them it's essential for their time in my office. If I don't have something written down, it really takes away from the whole experience and it takes away from the information I have to work as partners. For example, if someone comes in and they just say, so I've been eating really well, I indulged this one night and here's what I did, but everything else has been great. I've basically been eating, you know, X, Y, and Z for breakfast and this for lunch. It might sound excellent. That same client could have brought in a food journal with everything listed. And you know what? 4 out of the 7 mornings that week, they did have a good breakfast. And 5 out of the 7 days, they did have a great lunch. But you know what? There were a couple lunches that were really off. There were a few breakfasts that were off. There was some picking here or there. It wasn't just that one decadent meal out. And it's impossible to address the different issues, not just the food intake, but the reasons behind the food intake, the emotional reasons there, without having something written down. Another example there would be when you look at a food journal and you see that someone had a chocolate chip cookie. That chocolate chip cookie could mean a whole lot of different things. It could mean, well, I had an apple and peanut butter with me at work, but I was in a pissed off mood and I felt like eating the chocolate chip cookie. That chocolate chip cookie is a whole different issue than someone who had a wonderful healthy dinner, went to the gym that day, felt great, and just decided to make a conscious indulgence in their mother's home-baked cookies that she had brought over. That is a completely different way of eating that cookie, and that's just as important. So when you look at that food journal, it's not just, oh, you had a chocolate chip cookie and slapping someone on the wrist. It's the why behind the chocolate chip cookie. But it's hard to address those issues, the actual food and the why behind the food, without having something written down. Food journaling is important for me, as I just talked about, but it's also important for the client. When people write down what they eat, they're going to be more accurate than when they're just recalling it. When people just give you a recall and you ask them about what they ate, they're going to underestimate how much they ate by about 50%. For all those people out there that just don't want a food journal, there's a couple different options. Sometimes I'll suggest, instead of using the food journal sheet that I have and that I have here attached to the webinar for you to give to your clients and for you to use, I'll have them sometimes buy a beautiful journal and just write it in a journal. It can be something pretty that they enjoy writing in that makes them happy. Or they can just start a draft email every morning and after every meal or everything they eat, add on to that email and then at the end of the day, just press send. That's sometimes an easy option for people. Or sometimes I'll have them just keep a Google document and we'll have it as a shared document. We'll look at it that way. And then another option is there's even apps out there that can help people food journal as well. For those people that are still having a tough time food journaling, here's a couple things I'll do. One, I'll just ask them to food journal just a couple days out of the week. Just choose a couple random days and write it down, but they don't need to do it every day. That way, it can at least give me a little bit of information for me to then ask questions about what happened on these other days. Is this lunch typical of the 3 other lunches that you had at work that week? What else happened in the afternoon instead of this snack? What did you have? It just opens up the conversation and it also gets them to start this behavior without it being so overwhelming. But remember, this is for the people that are really refusing. Another thing I'll do is just get people to fill out the other parts of the food journal that aren't food related. For example, in the food journal I use, the Nutritious Life Food Journal, we include water, exercise. We also even include mood in there. And that way it gets them in the habit of writing these things, but they don't have to be writing every single thing they've eaten, because for some people that just does stir up old memories and they just don't want to go back there and they just don't want to write it down. But it at least is still helpful for me in understanding the other behaviors of a nutritious life that they're implementing. When people write down their how many hours of sleep they got and how much water they drank and what their exercise was each day, that can be very motivating, because when someone comes into the office, even if they haven't written down their food, but they can say to me and we can look at it together, wow, I slept 7 hours, 7 nights this week and I drank all my water and I exercised, they feel great about themselves. And that can be a wonderful gateway to more great eating, but also wanting them to actually then track their eating, because they see how great they feel when they do put it down on paper, when they put these good habits down. You want your clients to be accountable because you want to make it almost impossible for them not to succeed. Other ways I do that, aside from the food journaling, is by having them set weekly appointments ahead of time. So, for example, I'll do 4 or 8 at one time. So they know they're coming in, you know, boom, 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 boom on all these different days. And they don't even have to think to themselves, oh, should I go make an appointment? Should I call to make an appointment? They don't have to think about it when they're in and maybe they're running out to get to a business meeting. You don't want to give them the opportunity to say, oh, you know what? I'll email you when I get back to my office. Even if they want to come in, all of a sudden, a few days go by, maybe they're not eating as well, and they put it off. So they need to schedule appointments ahead of time. You've given your client the Nutritious Life Plan in that second session, but there's a whole lot of goals. There is a lot of information in there. That's the most amount of information you give the client at one time. So every week when they come in, we still go through weekly goals. And we're also adding to that I'm a Rockstar list. So by adding to that list of things accomplished and that they're doing well, and then adding extra weekly goals, and remember, I said this before, manageable and measurable goals are really important too. If you're always adding in a couple, 2, 3 max manageable and measurable goals each week, it's something small and specific that the client can work on and feel good about. And believe me, when clients feel good, they want to come in. Aside from having clients schedule weekly appointments ahead of time, whether it be 4, 8, or even 12 out, I also send weekly reminders. And if you don't hear back from that person and you're thinking, gosh, they've been canceling a lot lately, absolutely follow up again saying, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I love technology when it comes to health and wellness. Not only is it an easy way to continue to get a plethora of information on your smartphone, but also technology is so fun in terms of tracking what you're doing. There's all sorts of ways to track what you're doing. I mean, there's the Jawbone, there's the Fitbit, things that track not only your caloric intake, but also how many steps you're taking, how well you're sleeping. For some people, it's not a great thing. They don't want to be that structured and they don't want to play that game. But for some people, it is so helpful and it becomes such a game and it becomes such a fun challenge and it really becomes my best friend. It helps me. Those types of items actually become my partners in crime in helping people. So I always love recommending things like that to the right people. Again, you have to know your client and you have to know if it's the type of thing, but you know what? Go for it. Sometimes even if you think that it's the type of person that would never do something like that and doesn't even like to send emails and is really in the dark ages as far as technology goes, sometimes you'll be surprised that even that person is maybe intrigued because they just like the challenge aspect of it, or they're the type of person that likes to be that accountable and likes to stay diligent and track things. There's also all sorts of apps. Things like Lose It and MyFitnessPal, where you track your calories. You know, I'm not a calorie counter here, but for some people, it is fun for them. It becomes part of a challenge, part of the game. And if that's going to help them, I'm all for it. And that's going to help me help them. And what's the goal here? To help everyone live their most nutritious life and reach their health and wellness goals. There are so many new apps on pretty much almost a daily basis now that I have a list attached, but we'll constantly be updating that because there just is so much out there. And you know technology, it's changing by the day. Technology is super cool for your clients, but it's also super cool for you to run your business. The way I run my business with technology today is so different than the way I did over a decade ago when I started my business. And I have to say, if I was starting it now, it would be even more fun because there's just all these awesome resources to help not only make you more efficient, but just to keep you up on the latest information and research. So let's just start with that. There's all these great ways to congregate blogs. You might even already do that, but there's so much research out there and it's hard to stay on top of everything. It's hard enough to stay on top of your client emails. How are you going to stay on top of all the latest research? What I usually do there is I give myself about a half an hour every morning to go through. My goal is always 5 to 10 new articles. And that could be anything from the LA Times to something in Science Daily to something from Women's Health Magazine. It could be a variety of type of information, but I like to read at least, like I said, 5 to 10 things a day. And then sometimes that will lead me to read something else. I might pick up one thing that refers to a study and then I go and I read that study. But I try to always commit a half an hour or, like I said, 5 to 10 articles, and using things like a Blog Lovin', where it congregates your blogs that you like is a great way to help you stay on top of things. And then, of course, even if you're sitting waiting at a doctor's office or online somewhere, pull it up on your smartphone. It's really an amazing tool to help you stay up on the latest research, because not only do you need to know that for you, but I can pretty much promise you that you're going to have some smart clients out there, and they're going to ask you those questions. And you need to know what's been in the news that day, what's going on with nutrition. And really, isn't that one of the best parts about our business, is that nutrition is constantly changing. It's so much fun to stay on top of it. And isn't that one of the coolest parts about our business, that nutrition is constantly growing and there is all this new research out there? So have fun and stay on top of it. Other ways I use technology in my business are with MindBody. I use MindBody software to schedule. Some of you that work in the fitness world, you may be familiar with that. A lot of training studios use it, but it's a great way to schedule, especially if there are multiple people working together as a team. We also have food processor in my office, and we use that for recipes and for analyzing client plans. I had used another nutrition program when I first started out, but I'm finding food processor right now to be the best one there. If you don't have access and you don't want to purchase something like a food processor, that is absolutely okay. There are other free resources out there like the USDA site and Super Tracker. We also use in our office Wunderlist. It's a great way to share lists and to have those lists come up on your computer and also on your smartphone. And that way you can share things back and forth with colleagues. That's something that Karen and I in my office use together all the time. And I cannot even tell you how much time it saves me. Another way to stay in communication with clients and other people on your team is by using Google Hangouts. Similar to using Skype, except you can have multiple people on the call together. And I find that to be so useful, especially when I'm traveling. And that's a way you can also even do group counseling from afar. So using something like a Google Hangout is a great way to increase the scope of your business. Finally, I can pretty much guarantee you, if you're starting a business or growing a business, you are going to have to set up a conference call at some point. And you don't have to be a big business to have a conference call number. There are a lot of free conference call numbers out there. You can go online, sign up, and you'll have it at your fingertips. Refer to the attachment to this webinar for a full list of these resources to help you be more efficient so you have more time for you to live your most nutritious life, but also for you to help and see more clients. Today I've talked about how to communicate with clients, what tools and resources to use to communicate with clients and to be most efficient. But what do you do when that client's maybe done with their nutrition counseling? How do you handle that? What I always like to say is, it never ends. People should be coming to see you as their health resource, even if they've accomplished their goals, at least for a yearly check-in. Just like you go to the doctor for a checkup, they should be coming to see you for a yearly nutrition checkup. I tell people that I am their health resource for the future. Even if they've accomplished that goal and if they're done with their sessions and they don't need to come in for that moment, I will remind them a year later to come in for a checkup, or maybe it's even 6 months later. But in the meantime, I also tell them anything that comes up, if you're going to a restaurant, if you need, you know, the name of a new product, something, refer to me. If you read an article and you're curious about if that research was good research or not, email me, call me. Make sure that these people that you've just spent all this time with, that they know that you are their health resource, that you want to continue helping them live their most nutritious life, that you are there for them in the future. And I can pretty much promise you that not only will that go a long way as far as you helping that person to continue to live a healthy life, because they will reach out and they will ask you about a new product or they will ask you about new research, but they will also probably come back and they will also probably send their family and friends. When someone does reach that weight goal or health goal and they are ready to take that break until they are planning on coming back for a nutrition checkup, I like to think about it as a celebration for that person and for you. Because remember, you two were teammates, you were partners. It was the work you did together that helped this person become their new healthy self. So you should be celebrating and they should be celebrating. So you should be celebrating together. You should go through all the things that this person accomplished. I usually pull out that I'm a rock star sheet. We go through it and let them bring that home with them and feel great about themselves. perhaps even add on to, you know, bigger goals, long-term goals. Maybe even if it was someone that was vegetarian and they had a bigger goal of becoming vegan, that that was something they sort of put on the horizon. And, you know, maybe it's out there for them to think about in the future. Four things to think about in that last session, well, last before their yearly or six-month nutrition checkup, are recap the accomplishments. Go through that I'm a rock star sheet and go through those accomplishments. The next thing is write down a couple bigger picture goals, the things that this person might want to do now that they are living a nutritious life, just those next steps that that person might want to take. Write them down so that person can just have them on the top of their mind for when they want to address them. The next thing is have them pick out two or three things that they can pay forward. Think about a few things. They should think about a few things that they learned from you that they could easily tell a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, their child. Just little things that they can do to help another person. That way, they're helping someone else live a more nutritious life, and you're helping more people live a nutritious life via that client. The final thing to do in that session together is celebrate together. Because remember, you were teammates. You are invested in that person, and that person was invested in working with you too. So you two should celebrate your successes together.